So we're so excited that you're here. We are on week 3 of our powerful prayer series. And so we have been exploring, what does it mean to pray? You know, the disciples, they asked Jesus, they said, you know, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And that was kind of a profound question because they were Jewish men, they're Jewish boys, so they would have known how to pray, but they recognized that there was something that Jesus held, some wisdom that he had. And so he outlined what we know as the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If some of you, if you've grown up in more traditional church settings, you might have that memorized. Anyone have that memorized from when they're kids? Yeah, exactly. And I say it the way that I was taught, with the language I was taught as a kid still, even though maybe the translation I read doesn't say it that exact way. But anyway, we're going to continue on. And last week was such a neat just study of the first part of that prayer, which is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talked about that if we are going to have powerful prayers, okay, so prayers that go from this side, the prayers that go up to this side, the answers that come down, we have to start with acknowledging God's role as a father. We have to also acknowledge our Father in heaven, his place, okay, where he is, his perspective over our lives, and also his name. We talked about how, you know, I told you how I flippantly named most of my children. I liked it, so I named them that. But names in that culture, and God's name holds incredible meaning. When you speak God's name over your circumstances, over your life, you're speaking out his character as healer and victory bringer and defender over your life. And so as we get started, I want to remind you. So over here we have a board with prayers that need to be answered, okay? So prayers that you have. And you can write anything on there, but what we want to capture is things that have to be, you know, God has to do. Right? He has to do it. So we're going to put it over there. And then throughout this series, as God answers, you can go ahead and put the answers on this side. So I want to just give a little testimony from my own life this week. My husband got a new job. And yes, it's a huge, huge praise. And it was miraculous. He went in and he really loved the company and everything, but they offered quite a low pay is what it was. And so Matt said, you know, I'm sorry, I have to make this amount. And it was quite a bit more than what they offered. And the guy was like, okay, well, we have two more people to interview and we'll let you know. And called him on Monday and said, you know what, we're going to raise the pay and we're just going to pay you what you need and come to work in 2 weeks. So amazing. Amen. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so I've just been so encouraged as we've all been praying in unity because we're doing a 40-day prayer challenge. And so as we've been committed to those prayers, the way that God is moving is incredible. And so if you haven't joined us yet in that challenge, we're on day 14 today. It's okay. Okay, you can still join us. It's not like, oh, well, it's over. You got to wait till the end. You know, you can pray anytime. So during our worship time, after the message, you can get up and write your prayers and your answers on the board because we want to see what God is doing. We want to capture that.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be continuing on reading through Matthew chapter 6. We are exploring the Lord's Prayer. Last week we read verse 9. And today we're going to be going through verse 10. So this will be a quick read. So if you want to turn or just read along with us. It just says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's all verse 10 is, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will. Do we have the wrong slides back there?
We must. That's okay.
Might be.
That's verse 9. But
that's
verse 10.
Nine. All right.
It's short.
So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what we want to pull out of this verse is that powerful prayer begins with an aligned heart. So last week we talked about how powerful prayer starts with acknowledging who God is. And so these first two phrases in this this model of prayer that Jesus is giving us is helping us to align ourselves and really keep our focus where it needs to be before we ever ask a thing of God. Because that changes everything. When we have the right outlook, when we have the right beginning to our prayers, it changes everything that comes after. And so that's why it's so important to understand that powerful prayer begins with an aligned heart. And so we ask this question, how do we align our hearts then? How do we align our hearts? For the first thing that we have to do is we have to invite his kingdom. Your kingdom come. We have to invite his kingdom. And so we have to clear up first some misconceptions, honestly, in the church about what God's kingdom is. For a long time, I can tell you, I had no clue what that meant in my life. I didn't know. I figured God's kingdom was really just heaven, where God dwelled. And when we talked about your kingdom come, it was kind of like maybe it was an end times thing. Like okay, hopefully, Jesus, you're going to come today. You know, and that's what we're hoping for. We pray this prayer. But instead, what Jesus is really helping us to do is to align our thought process with that the kingdom is here now. And we need to pray that we can usher that kingdom in our lives and the world around us. So it realigns our focus on where the kingdom truly is now. See, the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is preaching through right now, is he's teaching about this new kingdom, this upside down world. It's that everything has been turned on its head. And so he's teaching us through all this that prayer is how we're going to make sure that that kingdom is ushered into not just our lives, but the world around us. Mm-hmm. He's telling us we need to make sure that we see that the line between earth and heaven can be and should be blurred in our prayers. We're not asking some faraway God to come down and hopefully intercede for us. We're saying, God, we align ourselves with you. We acknowledge you are here now, and your power and your reign is here to stay. Yeah. And as ambassadors of Christ, it is our job to make sure that we are ushering that kingdom in at every moment, every chance we get. That's who we are as Christians. And so it's so important that the beginning of every prayer that we pray starts with, God, we acknowledge you're here now. Thank you so much that your kingdom is here to rule and reign in my life and the world around me now. May I be a conduit through which your kingdom can roll through the world around me so that people wouldn't just know an idea of who you are or this far-off notion of who God might be, but they might have a relationship with the living God in his kingdom right here, right now. You tracking with me? That's what God is asking us to do just from the get-go. That's why Jesus is telling us in this model, may your kingdom come now.
Yeah. You know, this is not just a God, you do it. It's a partnership that we have with God. And so when you think of a kingdom, I think of like storytell books, but you might think of like your history book or something like that. There are different aspects that are included inside this word, the kingdom, right? Inside of a kingdom, there is an economy. There's a justice system, a legal system. There's a certain type of agriculture generally that would take place. There's a security system and a culture that is established within a kingdom. And so when we invite God's kingdom to come, when we say at the beginning of our prayers, your kingdom come, we are inviting the ways of God's kingdom to take root in our lives. So we're saying, may your economy be the way that I live. And we know from the world that God's economy is completely different than the world's economy, right? The way that God moves. I can't tell you how many financial miracles I've experienced in my life, right? Have you experienced that in yours? We know that God's math, his calculator, is different than our calculator. Amen. Praise the Lord that it's different. Okay, we know that God's justice system is more supreme and higher than our sense of justice sometimes. We think, I just want it handled this way. This person wronged me, and so I'm wronging them, right? And God says, no. I am the ultimate way. I've got the ultimate justice system, the legal system, the culture in heaven, praise the Lord, is different than the culture here. The culture in God's kingdom is not one that we're experiencing here in a worldly setting. And so when we're inviting God's kingdom to come, what we're saying is, scripture says, be in the world, but not of it, right? Like you're in the world, but don't conform to the patterns of the world. And this is exactly what we're saying. We're saying, God, your kingdom come in my life so that I don't conform to the patterns of the world around me. I want to live in your economy as if that's the way. I want to live in your justice system, in your agriculture, in your culture, in my life. And so when we are inviting God's kingdom come, we're certainly saying, I will live under your dominion as king, Even when the world around me does not understand that, when it looks different, when they think I'm crazy, it doesn't matter. I'm going to live like you are the king of my life. That's a bold prayer to say, your kingdom come. We are aligning our hearts with God's heart when we invite that into our lives. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And what that passage, where that's stuck is where Jesus says, don't worry, stop worrying. It doesn't add a day to your life. And then even studies now show that it takes days off your life, okay? So he says, don't worry. And he goes into this thing like, I mean, even the birds get fed and taken care of, right? Like if I do that for the birds, don't you think I'm gonna take care of you? And then he says this crazy thing, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these little piddly details and worries of your life will be taken care of, will be added to you, will be given to you. Before we go into prayer with our needs and our desires, because that's often where we start, right? God, I hope you're listening because I've got some needs. I've got some things that I need you to work out. But before we get to our needs and desires, we can rest knowing that if we invite God's kingdom come into our life and world, the rest of our needs are little details that God is happy to take care of. He's happy to take care of him. Last summer, I had told this story before, but last summer we were swimming at the Red Rock Pool, and if you know, in the heat of the summer, there's like 90 million children in that pool. Okay, the water's cloudy. We don't know why. Just trying to ignore that. Jill's back there because she got her own pool because she's like, I will never swim in that gross pool. But I was in there, okay? I was in there with Haley, and we're swimming, and she just got her ears pierced, and she lost one of her earrings. And she's really upset about it. She's just like, my earring. It's like sloshed around. Who knows how long it's been gone? There's a billion kids. It's cloudy. And of course, like any good mom would do, I'm like, give me the goggles, you know, and you're just like, let me just swim around here and I pretend like I can see a tiny little earring in the bottom of this pool. So we try for like 10 minutes and I come up and I'm like, Haley, I can't find it. I'm sorry. I can't find it. So she's like, well, let's pray. And so we did right there in the middle of the pool. And literally 1 second later, I felt something under my toe. I'm like, no way. Get down. It was the earring. Okay. And that's just an example, a silly little earring, right, in a little girl's life. God is willing to take care of. He loves us so much. And so, I mean, I don't know what little things you're dealing with, but I truly believe, first and foremost, if we say, God, you have dominion over my life. You know where the earrings are, right? You know the answers, but I need to just invite your dominion, your rule, your kingdom come over my life. I truly believe we can rest knowing that all these little things will be added to us.
Amen. So have you invited God's kingdom to rule and reign in your life? If we want a relationship with Jesus, that's what he's offering us. He's offering us the entirety of the power of the kingdom in which he came from, in which he dwells. Right? We're offered every bit as much as Jesus was. And so when we say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you be the Lord of my life? We're not just inviting him, we're inviting his kingdom as well. And so today, can you say that you are operating with that mindset? That you are a kingdom builder in this life, that you're not just a Christian, but you are one who sees God's kingdom move and overcome and conquer this world around us. If that's who you've agreed to be, right, then we need to be operating with that power behind us mm-hmm. in our prayers. When we say, God, would you move in this person's life, we're praying with the authority of the kingdom of God behind us. We're not just making a small plea. When we even pray for healing, when we pray for something as small as an earring, we are praying with all of the authority of an ambassador of the kingdom of God in that moment. That is what we have. That's the power that we have. And it is mind-blowing. I'll tell you, I forget that all the time, that that's what's behind those words that we pray. But it is. It's the truth. That's who we are. That's who we are called to be. So in this moment, I would pray. I would ask that you acknowledge that of yourself, that you say, God, maybe I've been thinking too small of who you are in my life. Maybe I've been thinking that this relationship that you have for me is just for me, but it's not about the world around me. And in those moments, if that's what you're thinking, if that's what you're acknowledging in your life today, I think we need to say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I've thought so small of you, so small of your kingdom. Would you give me a better picture, a bigger picture of who you are, of who you are to this world, of who you need to be and desire to be to the people around me? Because as ambassadors, it's our job to make sure that that kingdom is made known. Amen?
Yeah.
And so today, we would ask that you would make that commitment. If you're saying that you want a relationship with Jesus, then you're also saying that you want to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God.
Yeah. We align our hearts with God's when we invite his kingdom come. Also, secondly, when we submit to his will. So it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, and what this is basically saying is your way, your will, right? What you want and desire for me and my life and the world around me, that should be done, not mine. Okay, and this is so funny because I have a strong-willed child. Anyone have that? Okay, only one. Well, praise the Lord. And you, that's your mom saying you're strong-willed, so you got what you deserve. Okay, and there's some days where with my strong-willed kid where I'm like, why are we battling about everything? About clothing, toothbrushes, sand on the floor. We are just battling, right? Like, I don't know if you have that in your parenting where it's like, gosh, can you just take a breath and just submit to your mom, right? But I'll tell you, isn't prayer like that sometimes, right? In our Christian walk, are we ever battling the will of God with our will, right? Like, you better do this. You know, like this is what I want, and I need you to come through for me. And I shared last week about how we kind of throw temper tantrums. We forget our place with God. It says, you have all perspective, you know, and therefore your will be done in my life. And so when we say we're going to submit to God's will, what we're saying is we're aligning ourselves to the love and good he desires for us. Because sometimes I think we forget about the beginning of this prayer that says, our Father. He's a loving, good God. So we can ask, your will be done in my life, because that is the best thing for us. That is the right thing for us, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when we can't see it. You know, submitting to God's will is replacing our own notions of what we think is good for his higher good for us, right? We're replacing our own notions of what we think is good or what we think should happen with God's higher ways, his desires for us. The Bible says, your ways are not my ways. That's what God's saying. You don't know why I do what I do, how I do it, but it's the best thing for you. Even if sometimes it doesn't feel like it in the moment, it is the absolute best thing for you. So we need to submit to his will.
Amen, yeah. Have you ever thought in your life, what if I would have taken every single good piece of advice ever given to me, how my life would be different? You ever thought about that, right? Like, I remember, vividly, like Jess and I, we were buying our first house, and we had a good friend of ours sit down with us and tell us, like, I think this is how much you should spend on a house, right? And so we were in Sacramento at that time, and that amount was like a shack. Like, it's this little tiny shack. And our friends were buying houses at the time too, right? And so we went and we talked to a loan officer and whatever, and they told us how much we could spend. And it was like double what she told us, like, you should spend, right? And so guess what we did? We went more towards the what we could spend, right? And you know what? God's gracious in the fact that we didn't die, right? We didn't go bankrupt or anything. But I often think, like, what position would we be in today if we would have taken that piece of advice? Like, financially speaking, I think we'd have, you know, we'd be way further down the Dave Ramsey plan today, I'll tell you that much, if we would have done that, right? But we didn't, you know? And even the pieces of advice that we all know, like, credit cards are bad, right? Credit cards are not a good idea, right? But guess what? We maxed out a credit card twice. Twice, right? We figured it out the first time, and it happened right away again. So, like, so still, that good advice just didn't take, right? And so often, I think we can look back and go, man, I wish that would have been a great thing. But what do we do instead? We say, you know what? I think in the history of mankind, this one time that I'm going to do something different, it's going to work out for me, right? Like, why would we ever think that? We constantly are doing that, though, right? We're thinking, and as kids and as we're growing up, we're always doing that. Even we go against what God says. Mm-hmm. Look, God, I know what you're telling me that I should do here, but just this once, I think it's going to work out in my favor here, right? Why are we so foolish? What pride do we have in us to think that that's a good idea? Right? We need to surrender our will. That's why this prayer is so important at this point, that we submit our will to His and we say, look, God, I acknowledge, first and foremost, I know that your kingdom is here. And so if I'm going to see any good from that kingdom in my life, then I need to put aside what I think is good and replace it with what I know you have promised is good in my life. Here's the other tricky thing about will. Right? Our own will we can overcome sometimes. Some of us don't have a problem with doing what other people say and give us as advice. And there's not great advice all the time, right, in the world around us that we hear. I would say there's much more bad advice than there is good in this world. But here's the thing. Some of us in this room today have been caught up in executing someone else's will for your life. And it's not God's. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christians come to me and say, well, I know what God wants me to do, but my husband just doesn't want me to do that right now. Or my family is telling me that I shouldn't do that. Or, you know what, these friends, though, they're telling me that maybe it's better if I go do this. And then we end up operating in our entire lives around what somebody else is telling us to do, rather than what we know even. And those people that come to me, they know. They're sitting across from me and they're telling me, I know what I should do. And I want to do that. But I'm trapped because this person's telling me that I can't do that. Listen, I know that that's hard. And I know that there's some situations you get into, especially if it's a spouse or somebody else that's telling that maybe they aren't a believer. And I get that that's hard. And Scripture talks so much about what to do in those scenarios and how we're just supposed to love them and respect them and hopefully, and we pray for them, of course, that they'll turn their lives around and everything. But there's going to be those times in our lives where we're dealing with somebody else's will being forced on us. And so it's all the more important that when we pray for God's kingdom to come in our lives and that His will be done in our lives, we don't just say in me, but in those around us. And we pray for those people. We say, God, not just my life, but in the lives of those whose will is dictating what's going on in my life as well. What if we prayed, we were praying for Matt, right? To have this better job opportunity. Those prayers in the kingdom of God came down and the blessing happened in that he got the raise that he was asking for. He got the starting pay that he was needing. Why do you think that is? Because God's will and his kingdom are more powerful than any man's will in this world. Mm-hmm. And so we can pray things into reality, you guys.
Amen.
We can pray promise into reality in our lives. Even if it seems like the world around us is telling us no. God can overcome anything, amen? Amen? He is the ultimate overcomer. Jesus overcame death. You think a little thing like money is gonna get in the way of him?
Mm.
It's nothing, it's nothing. We have to submit our will at the beginning of everything we do, every prayer we pray, and say, God, your will first in my life and in those around me.
Mm. So where in your life do you need to submit your will to God? Where in your life, what area are you withholding from him that you're saying, you know, I know what you say is good, but I'm just going to go with what I want right now instead. We have to be honest about that. If we want to see powerful prayer unleash in our lives, we have to be honest first and foremost about where we're withholding from God, where we're even maybe taking advantage of his grace, where he says, you know, I love you, right? Like the other day I've told Haley, you, my strong-willed child, you cannot hold the baby standing up. okay? Because all she wants to do is she thinks she just wants to put him on her hip and walk around, but he's like still 8 weeks old. So his head's like, you know, we got a lot going on. And so the other day I was in the hallway and I looked down and she's in my room and sure enough, that kid, she's standing up, she's like holding him, you know, and I'm like, Haley, and she sits, you know, sits down. And you know, sometimes it's like, I have grace for you. I'm not gonna go in there and be like, I told you. Sometimes you're like, I see you. But I didn't even mention it to her. I'm like, I love her. I choose my battles as a parent. I feel like God is like that with us. He has grace for us. But is that still okay that Haley does that? When, you know, as your parent, you're like, you should have gone in there. You should have, you know. And the same is true with God. Sometimes he's like, I have grace for you. That's going to come back around. We're going to discuss that another time. But I want to tell you, don't take advantage of God's grace. Just submit your will and say, you know what? I know and that this is going to require a big shift in my life, but it's worth it. Because a lot of times the things that our will has taken over in place of God's will are going to require big sacrifice for us to let go of. Big sacrifice. You know, God is, just transparently, God has been talking to me about eating better for like, since I was born, okay? Like, let's be honest. And I just battle him and battle my own will sometimes. But you know what? He empowers us by the Holy Spirit to submit. His grace administered to us, we're able to conquer these things in our lives. It's going to take a huge shift. Matt and I are starting a new thing next, not this Monday, but next Monday. Because I got to get myself figured out for a week. You know, but we need to submit our will. And so don't be afraid today. And maybe you don't know, you know, sometimes it's so tangled up in our lives. Maybe we're like, we've gotten so far from what God has asked of us that we don't know how to untangle it now and say, okay, your will be done. Because I've just made some choices and that's going to maybe end something in my life that I don't want to end. Right? But I'll tell you what, today, if you just start, God, help me untangle it. Your will be done. He will do amazing things in your life. I've never regretted submitting to the will of God, ever. It has taken me one time 6 months to get on my knees and say, fine, your will. 6 months of battling, wrestling. But I'll tell you, when I finally have done that, when I finally said, God, your will be done in my life, I've never regretted it. I've always regretted the other way around, every single time. And so where in your life do you need to submit to God's will today? What will it take for you to choose God's will today? You know, I feel like a parent telling a kid, you know, don't get a credit card. And just today say, okay, I'm hearing you, Ashley, your experience with your own will and how stubborn you've been and how that's ended up in your life. Take my advice today. Don't learn the hard way. Just start today and surrender that will to God.
So that leads into our last point. In the way that we align our hearts to God at the beginning of our prayer life is that we ask to remove all hindrances. Remove all hindrances. And we see that when it says, on earth as it is in heaven. See, we align ourselves with God by seeking his unhindered movement in this realm. And so when we pray this, it's also important. I try to pray this as often as I can. And in this, since Lent started, I'm praying the Lord's Prayer every day. But when this portion comes up and I pray on earth as it is in heaven, I pray in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my home, in my church family, in this community, in this state, in this country, in this world. I pray for the unleashing of God to be unhindered in every single area of my life. Because it's not just for me, right? This whole prayer, it's a corporate prayer. It says, our Father in heaven. We don't say my Father, right? Our Father in heaven. And so when we pray, we're acknowledging, God, it's not just about me. Yes, I ask that you would remove everything in my life, but then that prayer turns into spiritual warfare. It's a prayer of surrender that quickly changes into spiritual warfare where we say, okay, end your will to break down every wall and every barrier in my life and in those I love in this community and this world. Move freely. We want to see God be able to move completely unhindered in this world. Amen? Just as easily as he moves about in heaven, in the spiritual realm, we want him to move freely about in this world so that we can see radical change. we've seen some radical change in Red Rock. Amen? We've seen this community change, not because of anything that we've done, but because of God's presence here and prayer. Mm-hmm. Because God is able to move unhindered where people are praying. And so we got to keep that up. We got to keep that prayer life up in our lives, in the lives of those around us in this world. When we do that, we're going to see hindrances fall like they're nothing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to really see some amazing things happen.
Yeah, just like the other two things, the inviting his kingdom and submitting to his will, this removal of hindrances is a partnership that we have with God. So it's not just, God, you just do your thing. It's, God, come, I'm going to help, right? I'm going to invite that. I'm going to remove hindrances in my life. And so I was blessed to have someone treat me to a cleaning lady. Okay, anyone ever had a cleaning lady? A couple of you, you can admit it. God bless. My mother-in-law is the best cleaning lady of all time, but we had a lady come. And now you're either one of two personalities when a cleaning lady comes, just a, it is what it is, do your thing, pick up what you can in the hours that I'm paying for, and I'll see you later. Or you're like me, where you like clean before the cleaning lady, you know what I'm talking about? Like you're like, oh, well, this is disgusting, you know, and you're like scrubbing. And so when I have a cleaning lady come, I clear, literally looks like a model home in our house. Like every surface, you don't know that we live there. Every surface is cleaned, every laundry is put away. I mean, every single thing is just so, right? Because why? Because I don't want her to spend her time organizing my mail or folding laundry or you know, picking up toys or putting the toothbrush away, right? I want her to spend her time getting deep in the house. Okay, and we live in Red Rock, so there is a thick layer of dust literally everywhere. And I want her to get every single last thing. And so what happens? I remove all the hindrances, all the clutter, all the stuff so that she can come and she can work. And when we're asking God, remove hindrances, right? Move about on earth as it is in heaven. You just move. You do your thing. We have to also recognize sometimes there are things that we need to remove in our lives for him to do his thing. There are things, you know, he has grace. He'll come in, he'll do some work. But if we want God to really move and get to the dirty work of the issues in our lives and the things that we need, we have to put our feet to work as well. And so as we align our hearts with God, it is just as much about us removing hindrances as it is about him doing it. And let me say this, it has to be a partnership. Because there's some hindrances in your life that you might see, one that you might not see, but also that you might see, but you don't know how to remove them, right? I don't know how that got there, and I also don't know how to take it down. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we partner with God, and we see those walls come down, those hindrances removed in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Even our physical addictions. I mean, when we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, we'll partner with you in that for our own lives and, I think, for the lives of people around us. We call ourselves storytellers here at Village Church. So our mission statement is we exist to share our stories with Christ so that others can have a story with him. If that's not removing hindrances, I don't know what is. Right? When we say, you know what, I'm not just going to help remove hindrances in my life so you can work freely. I'm going to also take a tackle at removing hindrances, like Cody said, in the lives of people around me. I'm going to bring in the gospel, the story of Christ into people's homes and their lives and relationships so that hindrances can be removed in their lives as well. Do you see how this aligns our heart with God's heart? When we do this, when we say, okay, God, this is not just about you doing a thing like, Lord in heaven, you just know a thing, and so you just do it. It's so much more about my heart aligned with God's heart. We're working together to see these things happen.
Absolutely. So what hindrances are there in your life today that are keeping God from moving freely in your life? I would ask that when you pray this prayer, you stop for a second and you ask the Holy Spirit, would you speak into my life? Would you show me anything that I need to surrender to you? But I'll tell you, it's likely that most of us don't have to pray that prayer. We already know. We already know the things in our lives that are holding us back from letting God freely move about in our lives. And those things always come down to a fear of letting go of control. Every hindrance in our life, everything that we hang on to, is a fear of letting go of control in our finances, in our schedule even, in our holiness, in our spiritual walk, in our relationships. Each one of those things that's a hindrance is simply due to the fact that we are afraid to surrender that thing to God because we don't know what it looks like on the other side. Mm-hmm. FPU is a hard class to take because you're afraid of what you're going to have to give up in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'll tell you, every single person who's taken it realizes, boy, I needed that. And it's just going to be the same way with God. Every obstacle in your life is going to take some effort. It's going to take facing that thing, looking it square in the eyes and saying, okay, it's time. I'm done dealing with this. We talked a few weeks back about how anxiety is like a phone call in our lives, right? It's God ringing that phone over and over again. We can ignore it as long as we want. But those calls are about those hindrances in our lives every single time. And God wants to draw our attention to those things so we stop ignoring it and we'll face it once and for all and we'll allow his kingdom to rule and reign in our lives so that those hindrances can be obliterated once and for all. Mm-hmm. And that's what he promises us. In an instantaneous moment, those things can be obliterated, but it takes our surrendering of those things to God. So we pray, would you move in my life as freely as you do in heaven? Would you let your power rule and reign in every nook and cranny in my life, not just for me, but so that I can be a true ambassador to those around me and so that others can find the same freedom that I have found in you, Father. That's what we're called to be, and that's what he offers us. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Amen.
Yeah, as worship team comes forward, we're just going to prepare our hearts to go into a time of reflection and also a time of just putting some of this stuff to work in our lives, owning the truth that God has spoken to us today. And so as we do this, I just want to remind you that this is how we start our prayers. Now, the other weeks after this are going to be about, now how do we lift up our needs? In what order, in what way do we say, okay, God, I've done the soul work in the beginning so that now you just work and here's my needs and my desires. So we're going to get to that because it is okay to ask God for things. It is. But first and foremost, we have to start here. And I believe that God wants to unleash a move in our community that we haven't yet seen. Okay, so he's done amazing work already through just his presence here in Red Rock, but I believe there's more to happen. You know, we have another church plant starting, a team forming for Gladden Farms, and that's just they're meeting several times a month, praying over that community, just asking God, what does this look like? There are things that God wants to do, but it has to start with this, with prayer, and it has to start with these things that we've talked about today. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'm just going to give you a chance to respond. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. When we say that powerful prayer begins with an aligned heart, and we see we align our hearts with God's first and foremost by inviting his kingdom, inviting his dominion in our lives. And as we've talked about that, we've studied scripture, maybe you've realized you haven't been living as if God's economy is true. You haven't been living under his legal system, under his culture, under his justice system. And today, you want to say, you know what, Lord, it's not just about, yes, I said, you know, Jesus be my Savior, but it's more than that. Lord, have dominion in my life. And you want to make that prayer, that declaration today. Would you just raise your hand? Just make that your time. Awesome. That's great, guys. If you hear, submit to his will. We're going to align our hearts. We're going to submit to his will. And, you know, sometimes there's little things easily we can say, you know what, God, I'm just letting go of that. I'm going to eat a banana instead of a toaster strudel. You know, I can do that. But it's the big things, right, that we need God to untangle. And in faith today, if you just would say, you know what, God, I submit to your will. I don't know exactly how to walk it out, but I'm going to. So help me. I'm going to do it. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. And lastly, on earth as it is in heaven, move in power in a way just on earth as it is in heaven, where you are King of all. If you want to remove hindrances so that God can work in your life, the world around you, want to partner with him, would you raise your hand? Awesome. Heavenly Father, you are so good. God, you are so present in our lives. Father, you are so big and strong and able to conquer, but God, you're also just so intimately connected to every detail. God, thank you that we don't have to worry. God, thank you that we don't have to figure it all out. Father, that we can submit to your will. We can invite your dominion in our lives, God, and then you empower us, Father, to remove hindrances. So, Father, we come before you today, and I pray a spirit of encouragement, literally instilling courage into the people in this room today. Father, that you would empower us in such a way that we are brave to see your dominion, your economy in our lives, God, where it doesn't make sense on earth, your culture in our lives, where we're stuck in a culture here on earth, God. May we be the people that usher in your kingdom here and now. And Father, I pray for those that said, you know what, I'm submitting my will. There was quite a few that raised their hands. God, you know the details of that. Lord, you know how to untangle the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. I pray against a spirit of fear where people say, you know what, I want to, but I'm scared of what it might cost me. I'm scared of the relationship I might have to let go of. I'm scared of the financial restructuring or lack thereof that there might be, the gap in my finances. I'm afraid of reaching out or even reconciling with somebody. Father, you know the details. And God, you empower us. And so, Father, we submit to your will this morning. And Lord, would you just remove hindrances? God, would you just tear them down? I literally get a picture of just walls all around Red Rock just tumbling. God, just like it was when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. He just marched and marched and did exactly what you said. And Lord, the walls came down. Would the walls come down in our hearts? Would the walls come down in our families? Would they come down in our communities? Our community, Lord, our city, our country, the world. Lord, remove hindrances, God. May we see a work unleashed here. We ask this in Jesus' name.